Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to break down the Big Ten and who we think is going to raise the championship banner at the end of the year. So, starting in 2024, the Big Ten is getting a complete makeover. They're adding Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. Now, as most of you know, last year, Michigan dominated from start to finish and finally got over the hump and won a championship. Now, this season seems a little bit more wide open than recent memory. It seems like, you know, Michigan and Ohio State is going to actually have competition. And because of that, the reason it's so wide open is you have differing returning production profiles, and you have a conference that is just littered with new coaching changes. There are going to be 5 new head coaches, 9 new offensive coordinators, and 8 new defensive coordinators. Now, among all this shift in continuity, there are 4 teams with a preseason win total of 9.5 or more. And that's going to be Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. Now, in a previous episode and article, I made the case for Nebraska to make the Big Ten Conference Championship game. Now, I still believe that there is a ton of value in that take, and I still stand behind it, as it will be one of my favorite futures going into the season, especially from a long shot perspective. But in this episode, I am going to explain to you why Oregon is a legitimate contender in their first season in the Big Ten, and why they check all the boxes for not only a conference champion, but an even a potential national champion. So let's let it rip. So starting off first, we're going to look at the offensive side of the ball. And from a returning production standpoint, it doesn't really get much better than what Oregon's going to bring back. They're 24th in offensive returning production from the number one overall offense and S&P Plus last year. And so when you think Oregon, like I had stated in a previous episode, you probably think gigantic, explosive type team. And that's not really the case. So from a success rate standpoint, first in overall success rate, first in rushing success rate, first in passing success rate. So there is no better team that stays ahead of the chains than Oregon. And when you look at the explosive side of the ball, there is a lot to be desired. They're 66th in overall explosiveness, 48th in rushing explosiveness, and 106th in passing explosiveness. Now, if you've listened to me talk about how asinine it is to think that, you know, Bo Nix was a next-level elite NFL prospect, I mean, it's just insane, okay? He was never good at Auburn, and then he came to Oregon, and they put him in a box, and they set him up with all these different layup routes and Mickey Mouse-type attempts, and he flourished because he was throwing these easy routes to athletes in space, and the athletes did the rest of it. And that's not the case this year. And they're getting a gigantic upgrade in Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. And the only thing that can hold him back is if the Oregon offense is still operating at this high school level where they're just not letting him, you know, push the ball down the field and really, you know, get after it. And if they were competent, they would allow him to open up and elevate the offense, because that is exactly what he brings in. And that's the reason why he's a top 3 Heisman candidate. Now, with that being said, the offense is going to run a little bit different than it did for Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma. So the major difference in those two offenses is Oklahoma only ran 12 personnel 1.3% of the time. And Oregon's going to run 12 personnel 21.4% of the time. And that's not necessarily a bad and or a good thing for Gabriel, because he was excellent out of all personnel packages, at all depths, at all levels. So that's going to be, you know, just a little different wrinkle. And I think he's going to flourish in that as long as he's allowed to attack down the field. Now, when we look at the defensive side of the ball, you know, this is not the unit that is going to carry this team to a conference championship or a national championship. They just realistically need to maintain the levels they had last year, and, you know, they should be fine. So they're 21st in defensive returning production, and they were 16th in defensive S&P Plus in 2023. So when we look at the success rate standpoint, they're 31st in overall defensive success rate, 38th in rushing success rate, and 26th in passing success rate. So, you know, that's above average. That's obviously not elite, but that is, you know, something, you know, that checks the box. Their defense is good enough. And then when you look at from the explosive standpoint, they're 80th overall in explosiveness allowed, 38th or 57th in rushing explosiveness allowed, and 45th in passing explosiveness allowed. Now, their best attribute on defense is going to be that they are 12th in defensive back havoc rate. Their secondary is basically a bunch of ball hawks. They are willing to get after it and take chances on, you know, basically turning the game into, you know, a chaotic type of playing field. Now, what I see is they're going to improve upon their front seven havoc rate. It was 95th last year. Even if they just get that up, you know, like maybe 20, 25 spots, it doesn't have to be elite, but to complement their secondary, that is going to make a gigantic difference. And that is going to improve the defense probably, you know, tenfold and what it needs to be. Now, when I look at the volatile statistics, Oregon's not going to get a lot of positive regression. That's just, you know, it's just not going to happen. They're probably going to get some negative regression, especially from the turnover margin standpoint. But they went 1-2 in one score games last year. They're plus 11 in turnover margin, which is 9th overall, and then plus 2.14 in fumble luck, which is 29th overall. So, you know, they're probably going to, you know, regress to the mean, especially on the turnover margin side and the fumble luck side. But that doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not going to be like a Washington-esque season where, you know, Washington went 8-0 in one score games. You know, like, I don't foresee that type of regression. And the reason being is, you know, Oregon is one of three teams to rank top 30 in returning offensive and defensive returning production, and S&P Plus on offense and defense in 2023. The other two teams is Texas A&M and Ole Miss. So, and I will talk about one of those teams on a future episode, so stay tuned for that. I just do not see I see Oregon being better than they were last year. And the reason is, I think this conference, even though it's viewed as if the Big Ten is better overall than the Pac-12 was, I think that's a fair assessment. But saying that it was better than the Pac-12 was last year is not accurate. It's not even close. And if you feel that way, you're just wrong. So I don't know what else to tell you. And especially this year's Big 12, or excuse me, this year's Big 10. Excuse me. You're coming into a Big Ten where Michigan, full coaching staff changes across the board. They have bottom 30 returning production on offense and defense. You have Ohio State, who, even though they are probably the most talented team, especially from the defensive side of the ball, they bring in Will Howard, who is a game manager, mind you. He is not a he's not going to elevate the offense, you know, to like a different stratosphere. They bring in Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator, which I do think is going to help them. But I I have my doubts about Ryan Day as a big game coach. And it's not because he uses, you know, beard dye for his beard, which he definitely does. So, you know, there's that. But he has come up short time and time and time and time again. Unless he, you know, the only time he didn't come up short was when he beat, you know, Notre Dame at home last year. And I had to hear about that for like 4 weeks. So, and then lastly, we have Penn State, which is, you know, always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. And even though they bring in a significant change in offensive coordinator, I just cannot get behind a team that has consistently come up short in the James Franklin era. So with all those things being said, then I take a look at Oregon's schedule. Okay. Their biggest games will be against Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Now, every single one of those games are winnable, but realistically, they probably only need to win two of them to make the Big Ten championship game. Now, they will get Ohio State at home, and the Michigan game on the road in the Big House is going to be tough, even if Michigan is, you know, on a down year. But as it stands, Oregon is -120 to make the Big Ten championship game. They're +210 to win the Big Ten championship, and then they're -280 to make the playoffs. So the way I'm going to approach those is to make the Big Ten championship game, you can bet that outright. -120 is a decent amount of juice, so I don't know if I would feel good with that. But you can always parlay that with another future for a conference bet that you like. And then I think to win the Big Ten championship at +210, there's actually value in a straight bet there. Now the playoff side, you know, you're not just going to lay -280 as a single bet. That's just not good bankroll management, and that's just not smart. But you can throw that into like a playoff parlay, which is available on FanDuel and DraftKings. So, and I think you almost need to consider them as one of the big teams with the lowest amount of juice to like boost your parlay if you want. Well, that's going to be it for today's episode. As always, there will be a correlating article with this episode on the website at themittnermethod.com. And as always, if you have any questions about the process or the data, or, you know, just have suggestions or just want to talk advanced statistics and sports, you can always reach out to me on Twitter, or you can email me at themittnermethod.com. Future episodes are going to be coming out, finishing up all of the conference previews, every single conference. Then we will dive into playoff contenders, you know, and little things like that, Heisman, you know, trophy contenders and things of that nature. So, but that's going to be it for today. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.